In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Here in Houston, I certainly get to enjoy a lot more daylight than I did during my 7 winters in Minneapolis. But even so, I still find that I experience a bit of internal disorientation during these shortest days of the year. I mean, when I pick up the kids from their after-school program, for example, it always seems like it should be a couple of hours later than it really is, and that really kind of throws me off a little bit. On the flip side of things, when you drive an hour or so beyond the city limits, a clear winter sky provides amazingly crisp views of the celestial canopy, and maybe some of you all have done that. It's quite a show, reminding us of how vast and beautiful the universe is, and yes, at times, how small we sometimes feel while looking up from the earth. Where is God in the midst of that feeling of solitude, that feeling of loneliness? Those are good questions for the first Sunday of Advent, this day that marks the beginning of a new liturgical year in the life of the Christian church. We long for something that will dispel the night that encroaches uninvited into our lives. So we borrow the words of St. Paul from his letter to the Christians in Rome in our prayer today for grace to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We desperately want more light in the world around us. During these several weeks of Advent that precede our Christmas celebrations, you can actually experience that literally as you walk down the hallway over by St. Bede's Chapel. And that's because not only have the French doors that look outside onto the newly replanted rose garden been restored, and they can even open up and let in the air, the French doors on the other side of the chapel have now been opened into the hallway on the other side of the chapel. The sheetrock that had been covering those doors over has been removed, and so during the day, sunlight will be able to shine right on into the building, and it really looks beautiful over there, and you should go take a look today, maybe, as you leave the church. But, of course, Advent is about more than a little sunshine. Light and darkness are metaphors in our language throughout this season. The darkness might be our anxiety when we check the national news online. It might have to do with the stress of work or the stress of relatives or maybe a relationship that's gone into a tailspin and about to end in a blaze of glory. Some face health difficulties or parenting challenges that seem just overwhelming. The true level of distress from yet another miscarriage or never having been married or caring for an elderly parent might be hidden from most people who know you. That's a dark place. What we want in all of these situations is for God, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, to tear open the heavens and come down. The beauty of the night sky, as inspiring as that can be, isn't enough. I want God to do something, or at the very least, I want for someone, a friend, to hold my hand so that I know I'm not alone. That's what we really want. The words of Psalm 80 can be on our lips too. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim. Stir up your strength and come to help us. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. That sure sounds like an Advent prayer to me. Walter Russell Mead is a professor of foreign affairs and humanities at Bard College, which overlooks the Hudson River and Catskill Mountains in New York. He grew up in South Carolina, the son of an Episcopal priest, and he once wrote these words about the meaning of Advent, and I thought they were really they really spoke to me. He says, Advent is a time to think about the ways that life without God is an empty husk. I remember, he writes, Christopher Hutchins saying once that we are all like mud balls, catapulted up into the air and sailing along very nicely, but that one day all of us, sooner or later, will hit something and go splat, Advent is a time to remember that it will all end in a splat. There are those who think that we should try not to think about depressing subjects like that, but in fact, the ability to face the prospect of life's end with some dignity and courage is part of what makes the rest of life rich and worth living. For Christians, he says, there is something else. If there is no Christmas, there is no cross, no answer to the problems of sin, separation, failure, and pain. Advent is a time to think about what life would be like if we didn't have faith in a Redeemer, a Savior who was ready, willing, and able to complete the broken arc of our lives, forgive what is past, and walk with us step by step to help us build something better in the time that is left. Advent is a time to remember that we need something more than what we can summon with our own resources to make life work. It's a time to remember how lost we would be if someone hadn't come to find us. Psalm 80 describes the bread of tears that we're fed whenever we find ourselves waiting in the shadows while our anguished prayers remain unanswered. Episcopal priest Paul Zoll says, tears are a precious measure of the things that really matter to us. Religious historian Kimberly Patton has written, without tears, there can be no real return to God across the abyss of sin and despair. Tears are more than just symptoms of a changed heart. They are, counterintuitively, its catalysts. Tears are the only way home. It's okay to be a Christian and shed tears, wondering if God will show up. The psalmist, not once, not twice, but three times, implores the God of hosts, saying, show the light of your countenance, and we will be saved. Those words in ancient Israel would have brought to mind the blessing that God in the book of Numbers commanded Moses to instruct his brother Aaron, the high priest, and Aaron's sons to use. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. When I was growing up in the Moravian Church in North Carolina, those words were the last words I heard spoken by the minister at the end of every worship service. And some of you grew up in a tradition that did that too. They'll be used this morning and throughout the season of Advent as the benediction at the end of our liturgies here at Palmer. Just as they were to be used daily on the journey of the children of Israel from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, those words of blessing will be our companion on our journey to Christmas. It's a reminder that God's countenance, God's face, shines on us, not glaring, but glowing. In other words, God smiles on us in spite of ourselves. In her book, Take This Bread, Episcopalian Sarah Miles describes her experience the first time that she received Holy Communion, and it was in St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco. And I want to read to you how she described that, but keep in mind that she was new to Christianity, didn't really have the words to describe how she felt about that. And she wrote it this way. She said, the disconnect between what I thought was happening, I was eating a piece of bread, what I heard someone else say was happening, this piece of bread was the body of Christ, a patently untrue or at best metaphorical statement, and what I knew was happening, God, named Christ or Jesus, was real, and in my mouth, utterly short-circuited my ability to do anything but cry. Probably, she said, my tears were just pent-up sadness accumulated over a long, hard decade and spilling out unsurprisingly because I was in a place where I could cry anonymously. This went on for a while, me going to St. Gregory's, taking the bread and bursting into tears, drinking wine and crying some more. It was inexplicable. My Advent hope for you is that you will experience something inexplicable too. Perhaps at the Lord's table, or maybe while you're participating in an outreach project on this Serve Sunday, or even in meeting a stranger who crosses your path on your journey of faith. Know that the face of the Lord shines upon you graciously in the midst of the darkness that surrounds you. And know that you are not alone in that darkness as you wait for Him. Amen.